Fear is one of our most common and complex emotions. We all know what it's like to be afraid. From early childhood, throughout our lives, fear grips us. Fear motivates us. Fear can capture us and compel us and confuse us. Of course, fear can also be a healthy emotion. It can be protective. Fear is what keeps you out of dangerous situations. Fear can tell you when to turn and run or when to stand and fight, and that can be a good thing. But then again, fear can also paralyze us. Fear can take over our lives and leave us frozen. So what are you afraid of? Some of you might be afraid of spiders or snakes or maybe fear of heights. Or maybe what you're afraid of is the sort of things you can't see, like maybe you're afraid of criticism. Maybe you're afraid of anger or violence. God does not want you to live in fear, and Jesus offers his followers peace in place of fear. And over in God's Word, we read that God tells us, fear not. And so hopefully that is what we can hold on to today. Over the next several weeks, I'm going to be preaching a series of sermons that I've entitled Overcoming. We're going to talk about how God helps us to overcome the things that we face, usually those internal struggles that we face, like fear, overcoming fear. We'll talk next week about overcoming hurt, and then overcoming doubt, overcoming discouragement, overcoming shame. Over the next few weeks, we'll go through those topics. But today, we're going to talk about overcoming fear. And as we do this, the first thing that we need to say is that it's not wrong to feel afraid. Everyone feels fear. It's a natural emotion. The question for us, and that we're going to be thinking about today, is how do we deal with fear? There are lots of ways to deal with fear that are negative, that lead us away from God's will for us, that lead us into more difficulty and more struggles, but then there are also ways to deal with fear that allow us to follow God's path for us. How do we overcome fear? And so we're going to look today at a passage of Scripture that introduces us to one of the most courageous people in the Bible. Someone whose story we don't tell maybe as often as we should. A person who faced fear and overcame that fear through trusting in God's strength, through trusting in faith and God's presence in this person's life. And this courageous person was named Esther. Esther lived during the 5th century B.C. She lived among her Jewish people, the Jewish population, that were living in sort of the continuing exile in the Persian Empire. You remember the story of the Israelites. Through their disobedience, God allowed them to be conquered by the Assyrians, then the Babylonians, and then those kingdoms were eventually conquered by the Persians. And it was the Persians who allowed the Israelites eventually to go back in and resettle in Israel. But some of the Jewish people, like Esther, continued to live there among the Persians. Esther became a central figure in the Persian kingdom, and we'll hear a bit of that story as we go along. But she became the queen, married to the king of Persia, a man named Xerxes, who was at that time, because Persia was the most powerful empire in the world, Xerxes was the most powerful person in the world. And Esther became his queen. Esther, though, early in her life was an orphan. She was raised by her uncle, a man named Mordecai. And the first special thing that we learn as we read through Esther's story, the first thing that we learn about her is that she was beautiful. And God used her beauty to capture the king's attention. Now, you see, King Xerxes was a man who had, I guess you'd say, a temper. He was also one who would listen to his advisors more than he should have. And through a series of events, King Xerxes found himself without a queen because his first queen he had banished from his presence in a fit of rage. And so he searched for a new queen, and eventually he found Esther, and he chose Esther again because she was beautiful. She caught his eye. He was attracted to her, and so he chose her among all the people of the Persian Empire. He chose Esther to become his new queen. And it was not Esther's beauty, but her strength and her courage that God used to save her people and to allow her to overcome the fear that we'll read about as we go through Esther's story. So we pick up the story in chapter 3. Esther has become queen. King Xerxes, though, is about to do something very foolish as he listens to his advisor, a man named Haman. So Esther chapter 3. After these events, King Xerxes honored Haman, son of Hammedatha the Agagite, elevating him and giving him a seat of honor higher than that of all the other nobles. All the royal officials at the king's gate knelt down and paid honor to Haman, for the king had commanded this concerning him, but Mordecai would not kneel down or pay him honor. Then the royal officials at the king's gate asked Mordecai, "Why do you disobey the king's command?" Day after day they spoke to him, but he refused to comply. Therefore they told Haman about it to see whether Mordecai's behavior would be tolerated, for he had told them he was a Jew. When Haman saw that Mordecai would not kneel down or pay him honor, he was enraged. Yet having learned who Mordecai's people were, he scorned the idea of killing only Mordecai. Instead, Haman looked for a way to destroy all Mordecai's people, the Jews, throughout the whole kingdom of Xerxes. So Haman has this problem with Mordecai. Again, Mordecai is Esther's uncle who helped to raise Esther after she lost her parents. And Mordecai decides he's not going to pay honor to Haman, the king's advisor. He's not going to bow down every time Haman walks by. Mordecai is only going to honor the true God, the God of Israel, even though they're living in exile here in Persia. And so Haman becomes upset, and he decides he doesn't want to just punish Mordecai. He wants to punish all of Mordecai's people. And so Haman goes to the king, and he convinces King Xerxes to issue a decree that all of the Jewish people living throughout the kingdom of Persia are to be destroyed, are to be killed. And when Mordecai hears about this decree, he sends word to Esther, who at this time is the queen, and she is living there in the palace with King Xerxes. And so Mordecai sends word to Esther to go before the king and plead for mercy on behalf of the Jewish people. Now Esther knew that without being summoned before the king, no one could enter into the king's presence and bring a request to him on penalty of death. And so Esther is caught between two fears. On the one hand, there is the fear that she and her people will be executed because of this decree that Xerxes has signed, not thinking about the ramifications of it to his new queen or to her people. But now the issue is the order has gone out that all the Jewish people are going to be killed. And so on the one hand, Esther is faced with this real threat to herself and to her people. But on the other hand, there is the fear that she can't go before the king without being summoned into his presence, and so she can't beg for mercy for her people. And so Esther was caught in the same net of fear that we experience. You see, fear can overwhelm us so that we think there is no way out. Now, the fears we face are usually not as dramatic as Esther's situation. I don't imagine any of us have faced the threat of execution. We're afraid to go before the king and beg for mercy. our fears are mostly more subtle. Usually our fears are hidden inside of our hearts, but they're still real. Maybe you face the fear of failure. Maybe it's the fear of criticism. You're afraid that if you attempt something and you don't succeed, that other people are going to look at you and maybe laugh at your lack of ability, maybe ridicule you, criticize you for not being able to follow through on what you desire to do. Maybe you fear being hurt by the people you trust. And that fear could have the foundation of reality behind it. Maybe you've been hurt by people. And so you fear being in a situation like that again. Maybe your fear is of doing something new, or meeting new people, or being in a social situation where you feel a little awkward or uncomfortable, and so that fear sort of paralyzes you from going into those situations. Even when what you fear isn't actually a threat to your life, fear can still be debilitating. Fear can still be overwhelming. It can keep us from moving ahead in life. Fear can cause us to stay where we are instead of moving into the future that God desires for us, and so we become overwhelmed. So what do you do with your fears? How do you break through those fears so that you can move forward? How do you turn that overwhelming into overcoming? How can God help us to overcome our fears? As Esther tried to figure out which way to go, and as Mordecai tried to encourage her through this situation, and Mordecai understood that Esther was their only hope, the only hope for thousands of people who faced this great threat from King Xerxes, Mordecai sent word to Esther and said, "You are the one we are depending on to get us through this difficult time." And so as we read into chapter 4, listen to Mordecai's sobering words and then listen to Esther's response. This is now in chapter 4, beginning at verse 12. "When Esther's words were reported to Mordecai, he sent back this answer: 'Do not think that because you are in the king's house, you alone of all the Jews will escape. For if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance for the Jews will arise from another place, but you and your father's family will perish. And who knows but that you have come to your royal position for such a time as this?' Then Esther sent this reply to Mordecai: 'Go gather together all the Jews who are in Susa and fast for me. Do not eat or drink for 3 days, night or day. I and my attendants will fast as you do. When this is done, I will go to the king, even though it is against the law. And if I perish, I perish.' So Mordecai went away and carried out all of Esther's instructions." Esther understood her predicament. She knew what she had to do. She knew she had to go and speak to the king on behalf of her people. And so she refused to allow the fear that she felt to paralyze her, to overwhelm her. Maybe God did put her where she was for just this purpose, for just this time. Then again, Esther didn't just ignore her fear. She didn't act like that threat wasn't real. Instead, she pushed through the fear, which was real, through the threat that was, in fact, hanging over her and her people. She faced that fear. She walked through it, and she dealt with it. She knew that she couldn't do this alone, and so she sent word to Mordecai, asking him and all of the Jewish people around him to fast and pray on her behalf, that God would give her strength. Prayer should be our first response to fear. Prayer should be our response. You see, prayer acknowledges our need for God. Prayer is honest about the threats and the dangers that we face. Prayer is honest about the fears that we feel. And again, it's not wrong to feel afraid. Instead, when we feel that fear, we need to turn to God and ask Him for strength, for peace, for guidance, for courage to face those fears and to move ahead. Fear is natural. It's okay to feel afraid. But when we pray about our fears, we invite God to help us overcome, to break those chains, to set us free from those bonds of fear so that we can move forward. I know there are lots of people who fear public speaking. You might think you don't want to be standing where I'm standing right now. And I know a lot of people feel that way. Your palms get sweaty, your stomach kind of turns over. Maybe you wouldn't want to trade places with me, and that's okay. I don't mind being up here. I've learned through God's strength to deal with this. You might also, though, remember Jerry Seinfeld jokes about the fear of public speaking. He says that most people, their greatest fear is public speaking, even more so than death. And so he says that means that if you go to a funeral, you would rather be in the casket than giving the eulogy. Probably a bad joke, I don't know. But, you know, Jerry Seinfeld is Jewish, and we're talking about Jewish people today, so I thought that was appropriate. I don't know, that may be a bad joke too. But you see, for me, the way to overcome the fear of public speaking, which certainly didn't come naturally to me, but the way to overcome it is through preparation and through prayer. You see, I stand up before you when I preach with the Bible open, where I can read God's Word with notes that I've prepared. Hours of study went into what I'm going to say. I've prepared to stand before you. Then again, I've also prayed that God would enable me to speak His Word, that God would use me through the power of His Spirit to speak what God wants me to speak, so that what you hear is not my words, not my ideas, but God speaking to you through His Word. And so through preparation and prayer, I can overcome that fear of public speaking. And whatever fear it is that you face, again, whether it's something that threatens your life or whether it's just something that keeps you from engaging in life the way you would like to, whatever that fear is, you can face it through prayer. You can face it by asking God to be with you through that fear. Not that the fear will vanish, but that God will enable you to face it and overcome it by the strength that He gives you. And in that prayer, God can unleash His power to sustain you and to guide you through those moments. So with the whole community praying, Esther faced her fear. And yet even then, it was not an easy task for Esther. So we continue reading now in chapter 5, starting at verse 1. On the third day, Esther put on her royal robes and stood in the inner court of the palace in front of the king's hall. And the king was sitting on his royal throne in the hall facing the entrance. When he saw Queen Esther standing in the court, he was pleased with her and held out to her the gold scepter that was in his hand. So Esther approached and touched the tip of the scepter. And then the king asked, "What is it, Queen Esther? What is your request? Even up to half the kingdom, it will be given you." "If it pleases the queen," or the king, replied Esther, "let the king, together with Haman, come today to a banquet I have prepared for him." "Bring Haman at once," the king said, "so that we may do what Esther asks." So the king and Haman went to the banquet Esther had prepared. As they were drinking wine, the king again asked Esther, "Now, what is your petition? It will be given you. What is your request? Even up to half the kingdom, it will be granted." Esther replied, "My petition and my request is this. If the king regards me with favor, and if it pleases the king to grant my petition and fulfill my request, let the king and Haman come tomorrow to the banquet I will prepare for them. Then I will answer the king's question." So Esther was not quite ready. You see, Esther was like a lot of us. It takes a few tries to get things right. It takes a few tries, tripping and falling and not succeeding, but then saying, I'm going to try again. And fear does that to us. At her first request, she wasn't quite ready to confront the king or Haman. And so we see here another reality of fear, and that is that fear can keep us from speaking the truth and doing what is right. Fear can keep us from doing what's right. We often fear how people will respond if we stand up for truth, if we stand up for what we know is right. That's why it feels easier for us just to go along with the crowd. We don't want to confront wrongs. We don't want to speak up against the injustices we see in the world around us. We don't say what we believe because if you say what you believe and others don't believe what you say, then you think they're going to ridicule you. You think they will judge you. That's a big reason, I think, that often we hesitate to tell people about our faith in Jesus. Because we think if we share our faith, if we tell people about Jesus, they're going to reject us. They're going to reject our message. They're going to look down on us. They're going to make us feel like we don't belong, that what we believe isn't worth living for. And so we fear that that people will think we are strange, that people will think we are different. And so fear keeps us from being different. Fear keeps us from being ourselves, even. From doing those things that we know God has asked us to do. Whether it's sharing our faith or just living according to His Word or making decisions in our lives that will honor God instead of just going along with the crowd, fear keeps us from being who God has called us to be. But you see, here's a critical biblical truth that we need to remember. And that is that it is okay to be different. It's okay if people reject you for honoring Jesus. It's okay to honor God even if no one else around you does. Because that's how God has asked us to live. For Esther, the consequence of not speaking the truth was unimaginable. If Esther didn't speak up on behalf of her people, they would all, including her, they would all be put to death. The king had already issued the decree. It would be carried out even before the king realized what he had done. And so Esther couldn't remain silent. And so despite her fear of the king, despite her fear of Haman who had orchestrated all of this, Esther knew what she had to do. And so the story we pick up now in chapter 7. So the king and Haman went to Queen Esther's banquet, now the second banquet. And as they were drinking wine on the second day, the king asked again, Queen Esther, what is your petition? It will be given you. What is your request? Even up to half the kingdom it will be granted. Then Queen Esther answered, if I have found favor with you, Your Majesty, and if it pleases you, grant me my life. This is my petition. And spare my people. This is my request. For I and my people have been sold to be destroyed, killed, and annihilated. If we had merely been sold as male and female slaves, I would have kept quiet because no such distress would justify disturbing the king. King Xerxes asked Queen Esther, who is he? Where is he? The man who has dared to do such a thing. Esther said, an adversary, an enemy, this vile Haman. Then Haman was terrified before the king and queen. The king got up in a rage, left his wine, went out into the palace garden. But Haman, realizing that the king had already decided his fate, stayed behind to beg Queen Esther for his life. Just as the king returned from the palace garden to the banquet hall, Haman was falling on the couch where Esther was reclining, and the king exclaimed, will he even molest the queen while she is with me in the house? As soon as the word left the king's mouth, they covered Haman's face. Then Harbona, one of the eunuchs attending the king, said, "A pole reaching to a height of 50 cubits stands by Haman's house. He had it set up for Mordecai, who spoke up to help the king." Then the king said, "Impale him on it." So they impaled Haman on the pole he had set up for Mordecai. Then the king's fury subsided. So the story does not end well for Haman, although he got what he deserved. But for the Jewish people, there was blessing from God. King Xerxes issued a new decree, a decree protecting and honoring the Jewish people. And this story, the story of Esther and how she saved her people, is still celebrated each year by the Jewish people. It's a celebration called Purim. And it remembers how Esther was courageous, how she faced her fears, how through her faith she stood up to the king, she pleaded for her people, and she saved the Jews. Esther's story, like many in the Bible, teaches us a powerful truth, and that is that God gives us strength to face our fears and overcome. To overcome our fears. God does not promise us a perfect and happy life. I'm sorry if that bursts a bubble. I'm sorry if people have taught you that lie, that if you come to Jesus, everything will be perfect and happy and carefree in your life. It's simply not true. And you read through the Bible from Old Testament to New Testament, and you see God's people like Esther and Mordecai, and you get into the New Testament and even Jesus' own life, certainly, and Paul and Peter and all of the people of faith, we all face troubles. We all deal with hard challenges. We face fears. We face dangers. We face heartbreak. Life is hard. And yet God promises to walk with us. God sent Jesus into the world to show us the way that God wants us to walk. And sometimes that way is difficult. And yet God sends us His Holy Spirit to be with us, so that as we walk in His way, we're never alone. So when you feel fear rising up in your heart, remember Esther. Remember how she faced fear and threats and danger and opposition. Remember that she turned to God in prayer. Remember that she had the support of family and friends around her, just as you have the church around you today. Remember that she faced her fear and she overcame with God's help. And so today and in the coming days, may God give you courage. May God give you faith to overcome whatever it is you face in the power and in the name of Jesus. Let's bow our heads and pray together. Father, we give you thanks today for Esther, for this woman of faith who walked with you and stood up to those who opposed her. And Lord, we thank you that the same strength and courage you gave her, you can give us. And so, Father, I pray for each one who's here today. Lord, we all face fear. We all face difficult moments. We all face the uncertainty of knowing how we can move forward when scary things come against us. And so, Lord, we pray that you would give us the courage we need, that you would surround us with people of faith who can lift us up and encourage us, that you would give us the strength by your Spirit to move forward even through our fear, so that we can live the way that you desire, so that we can stand up for what is right and true, and so that we can overcome in the name of Jesus. We ask this in His name. Amen.